hello. In today's episode, we'll be discussing snow days, sleep talkers, sneaky septuagenarians, and the lunacy of the Apple iPad. I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello, I'm Justin Eisenstadt, and this is, of course, Boldly Going Nowhere. Today is Saturday, January 30th, 2010, and we are coming to you live, so to speak, from my private studio. And with me in the co-chair, the co-pilot chair today, is the lovely Lena Salins.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing excellent.
My dear. My darling. I'm so glad that you are with me today, and I think everyone else is going to be also, because this is going to be a fun episode.
Thank you, darling. My darling.
Aren't you just honored?
Aren't you just thrilled? I am thrilled to be boldly going nowhere with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you're going to be, as I always say, if you're going to be boldly going nowhere, you ought to be boldly going nowhere with a friend.
That's right.
The friend.
Do you want to explain how?
Oh,
we
Max.
Know each other?
Max is here also. Would I like to explain what?
Would you like to explain how we know each other?
Yes. Lena is my partner in crime. she's my girlfriend. we kind of had a running joke. Back when Evan and I were doing Very Thin Ice, we sort of had a running joke that we would not refer to Lena as my girlfriend, but I don't know how long we actually carried that joke out for.
I thought it was that you only referred to me as Justin's girlfriend and not actually by name. I thought that's what the joke was.
It was, okay, it was a layer, it was multiple layers to this joke. Because when we were referring to, yes, you're right, we only referred to you as Justin's girlfriend, but the episode that you actually sat in on, that you were actually a guest host on Very Thin Ice, we referred to you as Lena, but I don't think we acknowledged that you're my girlfriend. So we're kind of like switching
irony.
It up. So it's been about 2 weeks since I was able to record an episode, and I've been going through with the withdrawal, the BGN withdrawal. I just got that craving in my blood to record a new episode. So.
Well, you've been pretty busy this past week because school started this week.
Thank you for reminding me that we now have responsibilities. Some more than others. The fact that I have the time to sit around and do this, well, it's pretty indicative of the fact that, I'm not the busiest guy. But you, on the other hand, this is why this is such an honor, folks, because Lena is a pretty busy beaver.
I like to think of myself
perhaps
as a
some
busy
other
beaver.
Woodland mammal.
I'm any kind of woodland creature that is very busy.
Busy beaver?
But I think beavers are especially busy because they spend a very short amount of time building their homes. I think that's where the idiom comes from.
Awesome.
So fantastic. I am very busy this semester, but this is a Saturday night, and I have no plans, which is very telling, because it just shows that, I have no friends and no social life.
Well, there is another reason, also. As I am looking out the window right now, it is, in fact, still snowing. So this little snowstorm kind of came out of nowhere, caught us by surprise. So we're kind of cooped up here in my bedroom, private studio.
In fact, I vowed to not do anything productive today because it is a snow day. Excuse me.
That's true. We were talking earlier today about how snow days are so thrilling. So I like what you said. I like what you said that snow days, when you're a kid, represent freedom. I think that's what you said, right?
Yes.
Whereas now, it's the opposite of freedom because we are trapped here.
Yeah, we had a conversation earlier about the difference in reactions to snow days when you're a kid and when you're an adult, and I think that it's the difference in your reaction that shows when you truly are an adult. I think that's how you know you're an adult. When a snow day comes and you just get pissed off because you can't start your car and your plans get canceled, etc. Because when you're a kid, you know, you'd wake up and it would be snowing outside and you get so excited because, one, hopefully school is canceled, and two, you can go play in the snow, which is, like, the funnest thing. So, yeah, it's freedom. It's an example. You know, it's a time to not go to school and just to have fun. And then when you are an adult and it snows, it just ruins everything. It gets in your way. You can't get anything productive done. And I feel like a lot of adults can't take snow as, like, a hint to stop and relax and not do shit.
Adults are pretty bad at taking the hint, I've noticed in general. So basically, when you realize you can't have fun anymore, that's when you're an adult.
Well, to be fair, if there's a snow day and you're an adult, and you have a job, you still have to go to work. It's not like here, like even here, if this was happening during, Monday through Friday, we'd be a lot more excited because there would be no more school.
Well, I did have to go to work today, so, you know.
Yeah.
I noticed this the other day, and another time that adults get really pissed off is the other day the power went out on the entire campus, and this was at around 12:30 a.m.
Yes, 12. Thank you for bringing this up because I have. You say what you're gonna say, and then I'll say my thing. I'll say my thing. And that's how it'll work, because I had a good time with that power outage.
Yeah, my aunt used to always say, "I'm the only one I know that prays for rain." Well, that's a line.
That sounds like the name of a song.
That's a line from one of her songs. My aunt actually has a CD out.
Right. She's awesome.
That's actually my other aunt, but anyway.
Oh.
Well, her wife.
Okay, well, I met both of them.
Yeah, and that's actually how they met.
All these pronouns are going to just completely confuse people, I have to say.
Confuse them?
Confuse them. So, anyway, things that don't need to be discussed on the podcast, right? But my,
anything goes on the podcast, Lena.
Anything goes? Like anything, the Cole Porter musical?
Exactly. Cole Porter musicals are pretty much fair game at all times on this show.
You know, Anything Goes was the very first show that I stage manage, and I'm actually majoring in stage management, so there we go.
I should play the fun fact sound effect for that, but I'm not. Go ahead.
So,
ouch.
The power outage.
I can only use one sound. I can only use a sound effect once per episode.
No, can I please finish my thoughts on the power outage?
You may, of course, finish your thoughts on the power.
All right. My final thought that I've been trying to get to for a little while here is just that, you know, when the power goes out for me, that's a time to, you know, get away from technology. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, I still have 2 hours of battery life on my laptop. It's like, no, the power's out. Take advantage of it. Get away from that. Don't do homework, you know.
To be honest, my first thought when the power went out was, I still have 2 hours of life left on my battery.
No, I put my computer away, and I, you know, didn't want to touch it until the power came back on. And, you know, for a lot of people, it's just so inconvenient to not have electricity, and it's like, well, first of all, it was like 12:30 a.m., so people should have been sleeping anyway. Like, there's really not much that you can do at that time. But I thought, you know, it's a nice time. Maybe people could play cards or board games or read books. But all the people on my floor decided to have a dance party in the dark.
Interesting.
Well, I mean, that was fun. But, you know, everyone was just freaking out. Everyone had their own theories about the power outage, you know, worrying about the zombie apocalypse that was coming, etc. And it just humors me how just, like, helpless people our age get when there's no electricity.
What would you say was the prevailing theory about the power outage.
I think it was generally agreed that there are zombies roaming campus.
I don't see why zombies would necessarily need to cause a power outage.
Well, I guess to start the panic.
That's a little more forethought than I would have thought zombies capable of, but okay.
It's true. Well, you know what? There's probably an evil mastermind controlling the zombies.
Like Dr. Zomboss.
Like Dr. Zomboss. Unfortunately, here on this campus, there's just not enough plants to attack the zombies with.
That's true. Our botany-based defenses are a pretty weak stream.
Very true. I, for one, was actually in the shower when the power went out.
Ooh.
Which is a very exciting experience. One, I was concerned I was going to lose hot water, although college campuses have pretty large hot water heaters. But I just rinsed the shampoo out of my hair as quick as I could and got out of the shower. The fun thing about bathrooms are they're the one room in every house that doesn't have a window, for the most part.
Keen observation.
Now, I've been in many bathrooms that do have windows. Doesn't that always freak you out?
Yes.
Well, if, like, the blinds are closed, it's fine, but...
One of the bathrooms in my house has a window, but it's not the bathroom that I use.
There's, two out of four bathrooms in my house have windows. But, I was then, you know, running through the bathroom trying to find my towel and then get out. And then, as soon as I exited the bathroom, there was a million people in my suite all freaking out about the power outage.
Here, it was kind of like, we walked out into the hall here in our apartment, and there was, like, one of the chicks who lives on our floor came out, and she was in a robe, and we were just kind of looking out the window, also speculating on the cause of the power outage, but,
Now, my roommate and I thought it might be a good time to go streaking. However, it was very cold outside.
It was indeed. It was colder than a witch's earlobe. Yeah.
Which is almost as cold as a witch's tit.
Yes, to use the colloquial. I will say, we didn't go that far, but we did, you know, get into a little bit of... Well, to be honest, it wasn't really mischief. We wanted to get into some mischief. By the time we were down the hill, to about in front of Erickson...
You went down a hill?
We did. Tim decided that we should go on an adventure.
Who's Tim?
Tim would be one of my roommates.
Oh.
Speaking of Tim, I'll get back to that, but let's finish this story. So Tim, Max, myself, and Gary, another one of our compatriots joined us, and we went for a walk. By the time we had just gotten down to where the other apartments, I was going to say the crappier apartments, but that's not nice. We'd just gotten down to where the other apartments were, and the power came back on. A little disappointing, to be honest, because we'd already suited up and headed outside, and we wondered, you know, how many chances do you get to wander around campus in the dark? But we were there, down there, and I saw a very peculiar sight.
And what was the sight you saw?
I witnessed what appeared to be the Burger King king being detained by campus police. let me explain. So, on Center Road being the road that cuts through the center of campus.
What?
Right in front of Harbor, which is the dorm that you live in, Leah.
Yes.
There on the street, there was a cop car, the door was open, and the Burger King king was standing there talking to the police officer.
Now, when you say this was the Burger King king, was he wearing the full mask?
I mean full getup, fully decked out in full king regalia.
Was he holding a Burger King burger?
Well, it was a little cold for that, I think. Or perhaps he had been. It was too far for me to make out whether he had burger residue around his face. But I can say that he was talking to the cops. That was not the weirdest thing I saw, though. And you can vouch for this, I think, if you recall.
Maybe.
We were standing on the balcony at one of the apartments. This was our vantage point, where we were overlooking the Burger King king. we also, I looked into one of the rooms in Harbor, and the people in there were watching TV, because, as I said, the power had come back on at this point. But the TV was just kind of flickering, like, just kind of flickering really fast. It looked like, you know, something out of Poltergeist. And all four people in the suite were just kind of enthralled, just in staring intently.
Hypnotized?
Yes, hypnotized even, thank you. Staring intently at this flickering TV, which had no signal, and they were just, we watched them watch TV for something like 5 minutes.
That's pretty sad.
Yes.
There's a house in my neighborhood where the front of the house has like a big window, and the TV like is facing that window directly. So every time we drive by the house, we see what the guy's watching on TV.
You watch your neighbors watch TV?
Yeah. Outside in the bushes.
Ever caught them watching anything embarrassing?
Well, it's always like, you know, you drive by really quickly, so you can't be like, oh, they're watching Survivor tonight.
They're watching Skinamax.
If they were, I would have noticed, but I've never seen him watching.
They're watching The Dark Side of Chimps on Animal Planet.
Ooh. That is the one creepy grass porno.
That's no. Sure? I've seen it.
Those chimps aren't weighing anything at all.
I can say from personal experience, Dark Side of Chimps is actually pretty underwhelming.
Maybe chimps don't have that big of a dark side.
You know, I'm not a expert. I'm not Jane Goodall. But whatever. So that was the power outage, and it was kind of a ominous or auspicious way to start off the semester, because that was actually on the first day of school.
But every semester needs to start with something like that.
Some sort of cataclysmic event.
Well, for the past 3 semesters that I've been here, every semester has started with a fire drill, or a water main break, or a power outage, or something like that.
Yeah, flash floods, flash fires.
In fact, my very first week of college, there were 2 fire alarms that went off. One was an actual fire, which caused a water main to break. So it was actually, like, all of the above.
Oh, so you got hit with the double whammy there.
Oh, yeah. A idiot decided to dispose of their hookah coals in a trash can. The trash can lit on fire. The fire set off the fire alarms. The sprinkler went off. The sprinklers going off made the water main break.
That's pretty dumb.
So, there was both fire and water all over the dorm.
Wait.
Then, there was, like, water damage in half the dorm, and people were getting paid cash monies for the water damage.
Wait, hold on.
Maybe this was an inside job.
The water main broke because the sprinkler system was on.
Yes.
That sounds like a really bad system.
Pretty much.
Like, oh, there's a fire. Yep, sprinklers are working. Let's see y'all burn.
Well, other than the power outage, hopefully, you know, we won't have, well, anything too drastic happen. Although, perhaps, this may be the beginning of a new ice age.
Yeah.
Not a new Ice Age movie, but
oh God, no.
That would be
terrible.
Terrible.
However, you noted earlier that getting the snow is just not exciting since we had such a big snowstorm earlier this winter.
That's true. We had a weekend here. It was the last weekend, actually. It was during finals week, and we got just several. We got hammered. We got several metric shitloads of snow.
I'm glad I got back to DC before that happened.
I notice you glancing at my handy conversion chart up there on the wall. Why don't you tell me what that says, Lena?
The chart seems to denote that 4 shitloads equals 1 fuckton. Now, you said it was many shitloads. Would it be 1 fuckton or more?
It would be at least a fuckton.
We had a fuck ton of snow?
We did have a fuck ton of snow. So, let's just do a little housekeeping here. So, school has started. I know I mentioned that I would probably be doing this show on WMBC, UMBC's campus radio station. I will not, in fact, be doing that. I have decided that it is far, far easier, far more efficient to just stick with this podcast format, because honestly, it's kind of fun just doing it here in my private studio. But I will still be on the radio here. Tim and I, Tim, who I previously mentioned, is one of my roommates here. Tim and I will actually be doing a music show, probably during the same slot, time slot that I would have done this show, so probably Friday afternoons. Can't really give you any more details than that, but just wanted to let you know that there will be even more radio goodness coming your way. All right, then. In that case, let's give the official high five to end this segment. Let's move on to today's fun fact.
Fun fact!
Okay, folks. Today's fun fact is this. Carnivorous animals will not eat another animal that has been struck by lightning.
Lightning?
I think it's supposed to be lightning, but I can only take fun facts at face value. So I have to assume that it is what it says it is, because I would certainly not be one to call fun facts a liar. So, there you have it. Carnivorous animals won't eat another animal that is struck by lightning. I assume they mean, like, you know, if a lighting fixture, say a chandelier, crushes an elk.
Like if a par 64 falls from the ceiling of, you know, theater rafters.
Yeah. And say crushes a passing.
Actually, it's referring more towards
jackrabbit.
More towards those nature photographers and all those people who do it that way. If say one of those camera light or something of some sort falls on an animal, the other animals will not eat that animal.
And that is why you shouldn't perform Shakespeare in the Woods.
There you go. You took light design. What do you think? Which light fixture would be the most efficient to kill an animal? I gotta give you a more specific. Let's say a full-grown deer.
Full-grown deer.
If you wanted to kill a full-grown
male,
a 10-point buck. How big a light fixture would you need?
Well, there are some pretty large light fixtures, but you also want something that's going to be heavy.
Okay.
For example, a scoop is very large, but it's not very heavy, and I think it would just kind of make a dent in a deer. However, I think it's just a little dent.
Just a dent.
Just
a dig,
dent,
if you will.
Just a flesh wound.
Yeah.
No, it needs to kill the deer. At impact.
Okay, I think maybe using a full strip light, which are very long, heavy fixtures, that would be very effective in killing a deer, especially since deer are very long.
Long deer is long.
I think a psych strip light would work pretty well. Also, there are just some heavier pieces of light that would just probably injure a deer no matter where on the deer it fell.
Well, it would be cruel to injure it and not kill it if you're gonna drop a light fixture on it.
All right, well, then I'm just going to go with the strip light, because otherwise I just have this picture of like, a lighting fixture falling directly on the square of, like, a deer's back, and it just be kind of, like, you know, like, half of it's on one side and half of it's on the other side, and the lighting fixture just, like, puts a dent in the middle of them, but it's, like, grow two humps like a camel or something, and that would be a slow, painful death. So no Legos falling on deers. No Legos... Source fours, yeah. Pars, anything like that.
Yeah, well, I say the reason you want to make sure it kills it on impact is because otherwise, yeah, it's going to be a long, long, painful death because carnivores won't eat it because it's been struck by lightning.
Right, carnivores won't eat it. However, the other thing is, if a light falls, it means it's probably, and I guess if it's falling on a deer, it's probably not... probably not still connected to a power source at that point. Because I would say that, like, electricity would also help with killing the deer.
Yeah, it might be an urban deer.
like a deer that came... A deer actor.
Yeah.
Right?
An urban deer.
In,
an urbanite deer.
In Bambi on Ice.
Yes. If That's true. Well, thank you. That was very informative. PETA,
however, if you are a good technician, you know to always put safeties on your lights so that even if they do fall off the rafters, the safety will catch it so they don't fall on actors or set pieces.
Or urban deer.
Or urban deer.
Well, thank you. That was very informative. And PETA, please don't come throw red paint on me. This was merely speculation.
Also, I'm sorry for all of the theater light jargon.
It's okay. You get one opportunity per show to nerd out. That was yours.
Awesome.
And that was also today's fun fact.
Fun fact!
Well, that sure was edutaining. You know, I've noticed that fun facts so far have mostly been animal related. I'm not really sure why that is.
I guess that animals just have the funnest facts.
They do. Animals are pretty awesome.
You know, speaking of that, I have a puzzle for you. A conundrum, if you will.
Would you say it's an enigma?
I wouldn't say it's an enigma. I'd say it's a conundrum.
Hasn't quite graduated to enigma status, but okay.
Okay, so here's my my question. And this has never been scientifically tested. I just have a hypothesis. And so I just want to know what your opinion on this would be.
I'm happy to chime in.
All right, so you know that mythologically, if you were to throw a cat off a balcony, it will always land on its feet.
Only mythologically. I know this, yes.
Or a mythological cat.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one there. Yeah, I know this.
Right, that 100% of the time, a cat will land on its feet.
Yeah.
And if you were to throw a piece of toast that is buttered on one side, it will always land butter side down.
Naturally, yes.
Naturally. So, you agree with me that 100% of the time, a piece of buttered toast will always land buttered side down?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then 100% of the time, a cat will always land on its feet.
I'm with you so far.
Okay, so here is my, you know, testable question. If you were to take a piece of buttered toast and strap it to the cat, to any cat, with the butter side of the toast facing up.
Let's say your cat.
I don't have a cat.
That thing that lives around your house?
That is my mother's cat.
Your mother's cat. I'll supply the toast, you supply the cat.
Okay. So, if we were to strap the toast to my mother's cat, no relation to me, and I was to throw it off the deck on the side of my house, would it land the cat on its feet or the bread on the butter side down?
Oh, I had a feeling this is where you were going, and you're not the first to ask this question, but there's for good reason. Let me just say you're treading on dangerous territory here. You're playing with fire. You're going to get burned. See, here's the thing.
I'm playing with cats and toast.
Well, yes, if you want to get technical about it. I guess we should be, because this is a science experiment. Here's the thing. The reason no one has, actually tried this is because it's going to lead to catastrophic consequences.
Catastrophic.
Dun, dun. Ba-dum-psh.
It's awful, Justin.
I know. when you drop the cat butter hybrid thing, whatever it's become now that you've put them together.
Schrodinger's butter-strapped cat?
The butter-strapped cat. We should now call this the butter-strapped cat scenario. So, I guess it should be buttered toast-strapped cat, but butter-strapped cat sounds better for the marketing people, I guess. When you drop that thing, what's going to happen is it's going to reach an equilibrium where it stops falling and begins rotating.
Spinning in the air as it's descending.
Right, it will literally stop in midair and begin to rotate. Faster and faster and faster, and because it's not restrained, because this is a, I don't know if I'd say supernatural phenomenon.
Phenomenon. Do, 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 do.
Phenomenon.
Do, 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 do.
Phenomena. Basically, it's not restrained by contemporary physical laws. It's just going to get faster and faster and faster, and it will keep spinning faster without limit. And eventually, it's going to, the centrifugal force created by this this thing, this weird happenstance, is just going to cause so much centrifugal force that it's literally going to rip a hole in time and space.
Ooh.
So you're dealing with something man was not meant to deal with, similar to the Large Hadron Collider.
Excuse me?
The Large Hadron Collider. It collides with large hadrons.
I don't know what hadrons are.
I don't either. But you're not familiar with the LHC?
I am not.
Okay, well, I will explain it briefly. The Large Hadron Collider is probably the most expensive science fair project in the history of mankind. It's a giant, and when I say giant, I mean several miles in circumference, particle accelerator built over in, like, I don't know, Sweden or something.
Ah, I do know what you're talking about. You are talking about the thing that is mentioned in Angels and Demons, the fictional novel by Dan Brown, the prequel to The Da Vinci Code.
Yes, except it doesn't suck.
Well, it's a particle accelerator. Doesn't the physics of that require to actually, like, you know, suck?
No.
No?
Unless it's working in a vacuum.
Is it in a vacuum?
I don't know. I'm not a physicist. What I do know is this. The point of the Large Hadron Collider is to try and isolate and discover what's known as the Higgs boson particle. No one knows what it is. No one knows what it looks like. No one knows what it really does.
Except Robert Langdon, as played by Tom Hanks, which I have to say is the worst casting ever done in a movie. And then they brought him back for the prequel.
That's debatable, but it's, yeah.
Casting Tom Hanks as Robert Langdon was probably the worst choice of any actor to be cast in that part, and I will stand by that, because I'm a big fan of Dan Brown and his books, and The Da Vinci Code, and Angels and Demons, and Digital Fortress, and Deception Point, etc., and I cannot watch the movies because of Tom Hanks.
Right. That's why you didn't watch the movie.
I was a little distracted while watching Angels and Demons, or attempting to watch it, that I, in fact, didn't get a chance to see it. So,
yeah,
can't speak on that. But.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I won't comment on your taste in literature, but I will say this. Some people theorize that if the Higgs boson particle is ever discovered, it will actually create a black hole and destroy the entire universe.
Or the Big Bang.
Or create the Big Bang, which is what the scientists are hoping, that they can actually reproduce the events, the circumstances that may have caused the Big Bang and created our universe. So it's kind of interesting that what may create us could also easily destroy us. The thing is, the LHC has been plagued by problems ever since it was turned on. The best of which was, and I'm not making this up, a low-flying bird dropped some breadcrumbs in it, I guess in an outdoor part that was uncovered, dropped some breadcrumbs in it, and they actually had to shut the thing off for like 3 months because of a bird. Which is causing some people to theorize that the Higgs boson particle is like intelligent or something and is actually traveling back in time to prevent the scientists from discovering it. Science is a tricky thing, which is why no one's tried out the butter-strapped cat scenario either. Although, from what I've heard, the original prototype for the LHC may have actually been a large shaft where they would just drop cats with butter toast strapped to them.
Ugh, I wish I could be there.
Honestly, you would not want to be there because you want to be as far away from the black hole as possible.
All right.
You'd be there in spirit, maybe.
Well then, I think that we have, I think that you have answered my question delightfully.
I'm glad to be of service.
And I think we have a whole new hypothesis to play with.
Yeah. Well, the hypothesis is, will we destroy the universe?
Yes,
only
we can.
Only one way to find out. Like I said, you supply the cat, and I will supply the toast.
Yowzers.
if no one heard that, Max said yowzers. I think that's important to note. On that note, because as if this couldn't get any silly... thank you for...
What a knee slapper.
My near miss there. It's time to talk about some silly news stories.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
Alright, so we got a double helping of silly news for you this episode, since we didn't do one last week. Both of us, of course, courtesy of AOL. The first on AOL Health, and the second on AOL News. So let's start with this one. Why don't you introduce it for us, Lena?
All right, today on AOL Health, we have a beautiful article titled Sleep Talkin' Man, with the subtitle of Put the Lobster Down.
Put the lobster down!
Would you like to explain to us about the Sleep Talkin' Man?
Okay, so basically, we have London newlyweds Adam and Karen Leonard, who we have a picture of here. Pretty cute, right?
Adorable.
They're pretty adorable, right? So, this is an interview AOL Health did with the couple, when apparently Karen recently, they just got married, so I guess they're pretty new to the whole sleeping together thing, I'm sure. So apparently, she has recently been being awakened by her husband, Adam, who has been sleep-talking. That is to say, talking in his sleep.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Actually, what she's not concerned... Well, she's a little concerned about it, but mostly she's just highly entertained. She was so delighted that she began to create... She wrote a blog to share some of his witticisms, his slumbering witticisms with the world, and 1 million hits later, her daily sleep talkin' man entries have become a worldwide sensation, and in some ways have I guess brought awareness to the sleep talking, sleepwalking, and other sleep affected disorders. I don't know. Would you use that word?
Yes, I would.
Okay. So. Let's share a couple of the gems. Put the lobster down was one of the things he said. In addition to, of course the zombie loved me. As well as, I can't control the kittens. And my favorite, don't put the duck there. It's totally irresponsible. I think this is just, this is totally news. This is totally important. I think everyone needs to know about Karen and Adam Leonard's sleep talking. What's your take on this?
I find it delightful. I think this is a great story. Especially the fact that the wife responds with making a blog.
Yes,
out of these, crazy night talkings instead of just talking to him about it or whatever.
Yeah, instead of, rationalizing it or attempting to solve the problem, she's sharing it with the world.
I have been told that I talk in my sleep occasionally, too.
You have been known to. I've myself witnessed some of these.
Well, I think a new thing that has happened recently is that if I'm really tired and I'm talking before I fall asleep, I will actually dip into sleep, into dreams, as I'm talking, and continue to talk what I'm saying in my dreams out loud.
I call them micro-sleepies.
Micro-sleepies?
Yeah. She has micro-sleepies, where basically what she just said, she'll fall asleep for like a split second, but keep talking. But she's talking not to me, but to her dreams. For example, one time we were having a conversation, and the next thing I know, she asks me, "Where are you from?" I go, "What? I'm sorry?" And you're like, "What? What?" And she woke up then. She woke up right then. And what's more entertaining to me is not that she asked me where I was from, because, you know, that's not, like, such an outlandish question to ask, but that when I brought it up to her, she became so incredibly embarrassed. And I hope you're okay with, I'm sure you brought this up, so I think you're okay with us sharing this. You just became incredibly embarrassed to the point of you were flustered. I would say you were flustered.
I was asleep. I had no idea what I was saying. I think it was something along the lines of, like, I didn't mean to say that. It wasn't a dream. I just fell asleep.
Yeah,
I was like,
just...
I was trying to explain it to you, but I was so tired that I didn't actually know how to explain
it. Was
it
was great.
To you.
It was great. You just started trying to, like, rationalize it. You got all, you know, like, I guess defensive about the fact that you asked me. It's like, no. I was talking to someone else. I was talking to the dream. I was like, that's not really helping your case, to be honest. You should have just been like, oh, you know, nothing. Never mind.
The really other kicker to that.
Because I wasn't that concerned about it. I was just like,
10 minutes later, I did the exact same thing.
Exact same
and
thing.
And you were just like, what? And I was just like, never mind.
You started talking about Mickey's schedule.
Right. I asked him if you knew what my brother's schedule for the week was. So I was definitely talking to my mom in my dream, and not you.
Do you remember who you were asking where they were from?
I was asking someone that I had just met in Israel where they're from.
Ah.
And the other day, I told you that you couldn't put the sugar in the coffee.
Right. See, I don't remember that. It's weird that you remember these things. Because
I get so embarrassed, because right after I say it, I, like, realize what I've done, and I wake up.
Well, then you're not in as bad a state as Adam Leonard, because according to Adam, this is the incredible thing, I actually have no recollection whatsoever of any dreams I've had or that I've been talking. The only way I know is that Karen is sometimes so desperate for me to wake up because she's in pain from holding in her laughter. You know, when he says things like, "Enough with the cheese! Enough!" Which I could actually see you saying. Like, I could imagine you saying that in your sleep. Because you've been trying to cut down on the cheese.
In fact, at a Girl Scout camp many years ago, my friends and I would play this game that once one of the girls fell asleep, right as they were just starting to fall asleep, we would go and whisper in their ear, "What's the meaning of life?" And typically people answer out loud, but they're so close to falling asleep that they answer something goofy. And I'm pretty sure when they asked me what the meaning of life is, I responded with cheese. Which...
Awesome.
Not so coincidentally became my counselor name a year later.
Cheese? I remember one of our counselors when I went to Boy Scout camp was named Cheese, and he was this little short dude, and he was awesome.
Well, we get to choose our own counselor names,
and
it
was
just
Cheese! Cheese! Cheese!
It wasn't even a difficult thing. I was actually, I wanted to be Gummy Bear for a while. But Cheese,
Gummy Bear, really?
Cheese was just so obvious and natural.
Were you a big fan of that Disney show?
What Disney show?
The Gummy Bears.
There's a show about Gummy Bears?
Yeah, it was called The Gummy Bears.
Oh, I didn't have cable until I was in, like, 7th grade.
So I actually know a Disney show that you do not?
Apparently so.
No way.
Is this, like, a children's show?
Yeah, it was a cartoon. It's called The Gummy Bears.
Remember when I was in 2nd grade, friends and I got some gummy bears from the Amish market, and we mushed them together and pretended that the gummy bears were having sex. And in hindsight, that was 2nd grade.
That's mildly disturbing.
I wasn't the only... Like, I wasn't the instigator of that, you know?
If you say so.
Anyway.
Anyways, according to Karen, the most bizarre thing Adam has said in his sleep was this. "Don't put the noodles and dumplings together in the boat. They'll fight. The noodles are bullies. Poor dumplings."
Now that's just adorable.
Which, AOL Health, being the brilliant journalists that they are, or the brilliant interviewers, then asks, "Had Adam come in contact with dumplings in the previous day?" great question. To which Adam responds, no, I'd had sushi for lunch that day. Karen then adds, most of what he says is weird and has nothing to do with what's happening in his life. There's only one exception we can think of, and this might be a coincidence. We're going on a trip to volunteer at an elephant sanctuary in Thailand, and elephants have cropped up twice in his sleep talking. But then again, badgers have also cropped up, and we're not going to a badger sanctuary.
I've been to badgeries.
Badgeries?
Badgeries. I've been to many a badgery in my time. That's the scientific term for a badger sanctuary.
And, I thought you were talking about, like, the month of the year, badgery.
When does badgery occur? Oh, that's the leap month.
Yeah.
Right.
That's the leap month.
Every 1,042 years.
In between, yeah. I'm sorry. Badgery. Also known as Badger Appreciation Month. Badger History Month.
We already have a Groundhog Day. Do we need to have a Badger Month?
It would be racist to not have Badger History Month.
Badger's a race?
You know what? I once accused a person of being racist against homeless people.
I mean, it's
But
true.
Then apologized immediately afterwards.
Badger, mushroom. Badger.
So here's the thing. I know that I personally, I don't think I've had any experiences of talking in my sleep, but you can ask my mom this. I don't know if I do this anymore, but I used to laugh in my sleep.
Oh, creepertastic.
Yeah. Like, my mom can tell you, she'd come by my room and just hear me just, not even like, you know, not like a chuckle to myself, not just, which would be, I don't know if that would be better or worse, but just full out, just guffaws, just cackling, you know.
I mean, there's many different kinds of laughs.
There is a whole spectrum of laughter, but I was definitely on the guffaw end, and not on the titter end.
Okay. Could you do a guffaw for me?
What would you do if I started laughing like that in my sleep?
Wake up in a panic.
Would you freak the shit out?
Yeah. Actually, the shit would freak me out.
Full-blown freak out there. Oh, man. Wow. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, there are more AOL news stories.
We have one more, to be exact. And it's just as important that we get to this.
But I think it should be said that there are infinite AOL news stories.
Oh, they never end. They never end, because every time I open AOL, there's a different set of headlines on there. Honestly, thank you, AOL. Your web service may suck, and you may be completely irrelevant now. But I gotta say, you really know how to deliver when it comes.
I still use AOL. I just, like, I have a Gmail account.
Was that a faux pas? Did I just make a faux pas?
No, it's just that, like, when I was 5, I got an AOL account, and I've had it ever since. And, I mean, it's just that, like, I'm signed up for, like, so many websites with AOL, that I'm just not gonna, like, bother switching everything to Gmail, even though, like, I'd rather use Gmail.
I love Gmail, but you remember AOL trial CDs? That's a blast from the past.
I remember just like the dial up, and there'd be like the guy running. You know?
the little yellow running man.
Uh huh. Oh, I used to be good at the. Yeah, I used to be so good at that. Like I would do that like really, really, really well.
And you used to be good at that.
Making the AOL login noise.
Can you still do it?
Oh, I'd have to hear it first. But when I was a kid, I used to be, like, apparently, like, really good at impressions, and I just, like, lost it when I got older. Like,
I'm sorry.
Like, but not like people impressions, but I could do, like, sounds really well.
Annoying noises?
Yeah. I could do Scuttle from Little Mermaid, like, really well.
Scuttle?
You know, the bird. Scuttle.
Oh, right.
I could do the wah, 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 wah thing. But I can't do it as well now.
Well, see, I played trumpet, so I could actually do the actual noise.
Right, but Scuttle does it with his voice. You know, it's the voice actor that does it, so, like, I was really good at doing that.
But it's so much cooler when you can actually make the actual...
Yeah, I don't know.
We're getting sidetracked here.
I don't know about that.
We have to talk about the Geezer Bandit.
What? Geezer Bandit?
He's back.
What?
The Geezer Bandit has struck again.
Says the FBI.
Says the FBI, you know, who are they to say what's what. So apparently, 6 bank robberies and 5 months later, the FBI in San Diego is still hunting for a mystery man in his 60s or 70s who's been famously dubbed the Geezer Bandit. So apparently, you wanna kick us off again? Introduce this news story?
You just did.
Okay. It's like class. We take turns reading the paragraph.
I know, but you just did introduce the article. Let's. I'm just keeping it real.
I introduced the article, and now you're giving us the details. Give us the deets.
I mean, I'll give you the deets, but you didn't ask me the deets. You asked me to introduce the article.
Let me rephrase that. Lena, would you give us the deets?
Sure, I'll give you the lowdown on this Geezer Bandit. He goes into banks and, you know, he steals money and stuff. And I think the best part...
Inconceivable!
The best part is the very last quote here from FBI agent Daryl Foxworth.
Dude, that's such an awesome name.
Dude, Daryl Foxworth.
That is a total FBI agent name. Like, that's exactly the sort of name an FBI agent would have.
In, like, a fictional Fox show.
Agent Daryl Foxworth. This summer, One Man. Movie comes out next Friday.
That was, shorter than I expected? Okay, that's what she said.
Trailers are too long these days. I think if all trailers were just like that, they could sum it up much more succinctly.
Yeah.
Then, you know, they could fit a lot more in.
So what Daryl Foxworth, FBI agent, said was that he's not doing anything to draw attention. He walks out with the same speed he walks in.
And, of course, there's so many old people jokes we could make right there.
Which just creates such a great mental picture. You know, the old guy just, you know, he waddles in the same way he waddles out.
Yeah, I'm just imagining him, you know, shuffling out with his walker, with the tennis balls.
With the bags of money.
With the bags with the giant dollar signs on them.
Now, I have a...
Hanging, dangling off of it.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Would... You, if you were, you know, very old and bored,
if
and
I was, say,
poor,
a geezer,
if you're a geezer, would you rob banks? I mean, honestly, there's nothing left to lose.
Oh, hell's yes. I mean, look, if the cops, this makes me want to rob banks now. If the cops, if the FBI, not just the police, if the FBI can't catch a 70-year-old man. I think that gives him. I think my chances. I think your chances. I think my chances. I think our chances are pretty good that we could get away with this shit.
However, maybe what's making him so good is that he's so old. Therefore, we don't have equal chances.
No one's. Yeah, no.
I mean, that's
a
strategy.
Who's gonna? No one's gonna tackle a 70-year-old man. You just feel bad about it. You'd
break his hip?
Oh, yeah.
And then you'd get charged
police
with
brutality.
Assault.
That's the thing. The police can't apprehend him because anything they do is going to be police brutality because, like, they could just blow on him and he's going to snap in half.
I mean, if I was a police officer, I wouldn't want to
like,
blow
look at that
old
guy.
Dude, but yeah.
Look at that guy. We're looking at a surveillance photo of the so-called Geezer Bandit.
That's right. All of you in podcast land, please look at what we are looking at right now.
This Methuselah-looking motherfucker. I mean, his wrinkles have wrinkles. He's wearing that baseball cap, those sunglasses.
Oh, he's wearing
very
a
nice
grandpa
sweater. Very nice patterned sweater, a blue blazer over it.
It's gorgeous.
He's dressed to kill, or at
least
to rob.
He is dressed so stereotypically, it's like... This seriously could not be made up.
Yeah, no, I mean, and he looks pretty frail. I'll give you that.
I mean, authorities are taking it all... 6 feet tall and 190 pounds,
that's pretty sturdy, actually.
Authorities are taking it all very seriously.
I'm glad. Three different rewards totaling $16,000 are being offered in this case. And the FBI has been prominently displaying his photo on the homepage of its website, along with the headline, "Have you seen this man?" Oh, here we go. The FBI in December described the Geezer Bandit as someone who tries to be low-key and draws little attention during the robberies.
He's one of those ones that just scribbles it on a sticky note and passes it to the teller.
He's one cool customer, Lena. He is as cool as they come. He's as cool as... That's... You know, I gotta respect a guy who knows how to do business. He knows how to operate. He is a smooth operator. I think that's what I'm trying to say.
I think we can all learn a lesson from the Geezer Bandit.
If you're old, and you look like you witnessed the birth of the universe, then you can get away with pretty much anything.
Pretty much.
Not really a new lesson, but a timeless one, much like the Geezer Bandit. And that's today's ridiculous news item of the week. All right, well, that was something. That was something, indeed. That brings us, actually, to the final and most important segment of Boldly Going Nowhere. And that is, of course, today's spectacle of human failure.
There are white folks, and then there are ignorant motherfuckers like you.
So today's spectacle of human failure is Apple, the almighty Apple. I'm not, you know, an Apple fan, but neither am I an Apple hater. I think fanboyism is stupid. I don't believe in, you know, I don't believe in, you know, being down with Apple, you know, yay Windows, or any sort of company. They're all, as far as I'm concerned, they're all big, lifeless, soulless corporations. It doesn't matter. But I know a lot of people are really gung-ho about Apple, and maybe some of you have heard about this little thing. Well, I guess it's kind of funny to call it a little thing.
Big thing.
This big thing called the iPad. It may have slipped under your radar, I suppose. It's possible. It's probably not what people would consider newsworthy, right? It's just a new Apple product. I mean, that's it's not important, right?
In fact, it has become huge in the past couple of days. There's already a slew of parodies on YouTube of the iPad and the iPad commercials. And on Facebook, everyone's status seems to be like either, "Oh my god, Apple iPad, !!!!! Or it's like, "Oh, the iPad looks so stupid."
I like your hater voice there.
Yeah.
could you say something? I don't know. Say something else in that voice.
"Oh, this radio show, Boldly Going Nowhere, is just such a waste of my time."
Thanks, dear.
No, that was sarcasm.
I know.
Okay, cool.
I know.
I, for one, on the other hand, am a Apple fangirl. I am a...
Oh, you. I'm going to pinch your cheeks.
I'm a Mac owner.
Still pinching your cheek. You got to say stop or I'm going to keep going.
You got to stop that. Okay, you got to stop. Okay? Got to stop pinching my cheek. And I'm a MacBook owner. I'm an iPod owner. I also own other various Apple products, and I totally love them. I think that my laptop's better than any non-Apple laptop, and he's beautiful. His name is Cornelius. It's my white MacBook.
Awesome.
And
let me ask you this, would you fondly cradle Steve Jobs' balls?
I would.
Okay, so now we know what level we have to know what where you stand in terms of your.
I would gently cradle Steve Jobs' testicles.
Would you caress his turtleneck?
I wouldn't go that far.
Lovingly.
I wouldn't go that far.
Turtleneck's off limits. Okay.
However, I was very excited when I heard about the iPad. I was
as a woman
jumping jumping out of my seat, just like very, very excited at the idea of the iPad. However, I think the execution of the iPad is not quite what I expected. When I heard Apple has a tablet, I thought it would be a standalone computer. However, it seems that the iPad is just a device, and it really is just a giant iPod.
I think you just said something there that really resonates with me. I think Apple users, Apple fans need to say this more often every time Apple releases a new product. It's just a device. It's not the second coming. It's not the greatest thing since sliced bread. It's just a device.
What I mean by it's just a device is that it's an accessory. It's something you sync up with your computer. And it people, you know, are calling it a giant iPod, but it's really not that far off. It really does appear to be a giant iPod Touch.
Well, now it's only one letter off.
Correct. You are correct there. However, I would say that there's so much more that you could do with the iPad, and that's what really excited me. You know, you could use it to read books, you could use it to watch movies and TV shows, and, you know, anything that you legally buy from iTunes, of course. And,
yes.
You know, you can surf the web, but you actually get an entire web page. So I think the only thing that you really can't use it for that, like, a practical laptop can do is, like, I don't think it has a word processor.
I think it has that stuff, but, I mean, it's, like, whatever. No, I have to be more, let me be more specific here. What's the iPad is, in my opinion, extremely stupid and a waste of $500. That's not what I'm calling Apple out on. The true spectacle of human failure here is Apple's marketing department for creating what may possibly be the dumbest commercial I've heard in a long, long time. And let me just play a little bit of it for you.
You know, it's true. When something exceeds your ability to understand how it works, it sort of becomes magical. And that's exactly what the iPad is. It's hard to see how something so simple, so thin and so light could possibly be so capable.
The iPhone was a revolution, and we learned so much from it and developed so many amazing technologies, all the applications, the multi-touch user interface. It was truly an incredible breakthrough product. We wanted to take all of that and apply that to a whole new class of product. The iPad is the best web surfing experience, the best email experience, the best photo and movie watching experience. It's going to change the way we do the things we do every day.
The face of the product is pretty much defined by a single piece of multi-touch glass, and that's it. There's no pointing device. There isn't even a single orientation. You know, there's no up, there's no down. There's no right or wrong way of holding it. I don't have to change myself to fit the product. It fits me.
All right, that's quite enough of that. That's enough of that bullshit. Apple, get out of here with that nonsense. Oh, here, I have so many complaints about this commercial. I can't even list them all. First, I mean, obviously, let's start with the fact that Apple seems to think that we will buy any statement, no matter how utterly preposterous, as long as it's being delivered to us by a British dude. Have you ever noticed that? Like, people seem to think that the British are just inherently smarter than us because they have cool accents.
They're not just smarter, they're calming. There's something about their voice that you want to trust someone with a British accent. You're soothed by someone with a British accent. You do want to believe what they say. And I do think it is a stereotype that British people just generally are more intellectual than Americans.
I don't know. I've seen enough Guy Ritchie films to know that I'm not going to trust someone with a British accent.
Oh, well, all right then.
I mean, because what this guy is delivering just utter horseshit on a silver platter to us. Now there is this old adage. This isn't like a new statement. There's an old adage that I think it goes like, any piece of technology sufficiently advanced is indistinguishable from magic. Apple kind of, you don't get it, Apple. You're playing around with statements that you don't really understand, I think. The iPod is not magical. It's just a big iPod. It's just a big screen. The British dude said it himself. It's just a big screen. I love how that's a selling point.
You know, there's nothing more simple than one giant clicking wheel.
Thank you. Apparently there is, though.
Yes.
There's just a screen.
Apparently Apple has outdone itself and made something even more simple than the fictional MacBook wheel.
If it got any simpler, it wouldn't exist. If it got any simpler, it would be abstract. It would be metaphorical.
The invisible iPad.
That's what they're getting to. I love how, I think it was some sketch show, probably SNL, of, like, Steve Jobs coming out with, like,
it was
a smaller
SNL,
and smaller, smaller and smaller iPod, but now they're getting bigger. They're going the other way.
Yeah, but they're getting smaller again. Nano's getting smaller.
Nano's getting smaller, iPad's getting bigger. iPod is
big. I just
big.
Don't know. Like, I really like the idea of the iPad. It's just, from what I've heard about it so far, it's not meeting what I thought it would do. However, I'm fascinated by it, and I'm still so curious to play with one.
Here's the thing. I don't like the idea of Apple treating me like I'm a two-year-old. I don't like the idea of Apple insulting my intelligence. Hey, jackass, I know how a computer works. Most people know how computers work. We're not cavemen. We're not like... This is not like the gift of fire, all
right? Right, but an iPad isn't a computer.
No, I know how... Exactly. It's not even, like, it's as complicated magical. As a computer. All right, a multi-touch is cool. Like, maybe, yeah, we don't have computer science degrees. We don't know the ins and outs. But I'm pretty skeptical of anyone's going to tell me that the iPad... exceeds my understanding to the point that I'm going to consider it magical. All right, I'm not even that smart a guy. Okay, I'm.
We could just get past the words here. I just want to play with an iPad. I don't want to spend $800 on it, but I want to own one. Actually, they're going for less than that. I heard they're around $300.
Well, starting, but that's with like the bare features, bare minimum.
Right, it increases if you want to have 3G with it.
Yeah.
And if you want to have more
more memory.
Gigabytes.
And it only goes up to 64 gigabytes, I think.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, that's really piss poor marketing. I mean, Apple has treated me like I'm some slack-jawed yokel.
I think that you went in to the iPad commercial with a biased against Apple initially, and...
No, that's not the case, because I knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about the iPad.
No, but you already hate Apple.
I don't. Like I said, I don't hate Apple. I'm just not an Apple user.
Well, I'm an Apple fanboy, and I soak up everything Steve Jobs tells me. Well, and I know that he's going to use Macs to hypnotize Mac users, you know, and one day have us take over the world. And I'm ready. I want to be Steve Jobs' soldier.
I don't think that's going to happen, though, because I think Windows still controls like 80% of the market share, but I don't know.
Sure.
I'm just saying in terms of the sheer numbers, if he's going to create an army... Maybe iPod users, yes. If he's going to create an army of iPod users, yes. But if an army of Mac users, probably not going to be quite as effective. Because apparently iPod or Mac users think that a piece of glass is magical. I realize I'm using the same, you know, the same kind of rhetorical strategy that Apple's using and perhaps insulting the intelligence of Mac users. I don't think Mac users are as simple to think that a computer is magical just because they don't know how it works. Like I said, I think Mac users are probably pretty smart people. You're pretty smart people.
Thank you.
I think you're a very smart people.
I like to think of myself as a very smart people.
So, I mean, that's why I think I think it's even worse that that Mac users are even buying into this, because they should be more insulted than I am, because they're loyal customers. I'm just some schmo who's, you know, doesn't know an iMac from a, you know, MacBook.
Oh, well, the distinction there is very simple. The iMac's a desktop and the MacBook's a laptop.
You see, this is why I have you here, because otherwise I'd just be spewing ignorance.
I'm an amateur Mac expert.
Well, I appreciate you, you know, backing me up.
I appreciate
you. We may have differing opinions. We may not see eye to eye on things. But as far as I'm concerned, anyone who has a shred of respect for themselves needs to just tell Apple to get out of here with that nonsense. And that is today's spectacle of human failure.
All right. I think we're good.
I think we're pretty good, too.
I have to say, with the reactions I've seen to the iPad so far, although I do, like I said, I like it, I am very much appreciating all of the feminine hygiene jokes that have been made about the iPad.
That's true. I love that the jokes seem to write themselves. Listen, I don't know if there are people out there who share that opinion of mine. If there are, chime in. Or if you disagree, chime in. I don't know. Send me an email. Talk it up on the Facebook page. Whatever. I just, you know... does anyone else feel a little just... a little dirty at watching that commercial?
It is an 8-minute long commercial, and it's a little hard to digest. And I think it's safe to say that there will be other commercials coming out that will probably be... bit more elegant.
Well, I can only hope so, and it will not be hard for them to improve on that. I think that's going to do it. It's going to do it for us today. I've once again ended a show by making myself angry, but I seem to have that effect on myself.
Well, this has been just loads of fun. Pleased as punch.
I was totally pleased as punch to have you here. I think it was great. Please come back. Join me again. Anytime, you are welcome to sit in the co-pilot chair.
Thank you.
So,
I really like your private studio here.
It's pretty swanky, right?
Swanky is a adjective I would use to describe it, yes.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap things up for us here. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Lena Salins.
And we are boldly going nowhere.